Some time ago, my friend Mike called me and said,
Steve, I have a message for you. You have to make a podcast. It's very important. Do it now.
And I said, okay, I will. Can you provide me with extra time to do that during my busy schedule? He said he couldn't do that. But then I managed to free up some time. So here's my podcast, Audio Chimera. This is episode number 5, The Key Theater. In recent years, time seems to have gotten away from my wife and me, and we very rarely have free time anymore. Life has become enormously complex and busy here in the 21st century. A Netflix disc will sit on our table for weeks until we actually get around to watching it. And as far as going out to a movie, it seems like that kind of event needs the planning of the Normandy invasion. All of this makes the time we spend at the Key Theater in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, even more interesting. The fact that we could go to the movies almost every week now baffles me. When did we have that much free time? The great thing about the Key Theater was that it was an old movie theater, so it was huge and we got to see films on a really large screen, the way some people think movies should be viewed. Also, since it was a second-run theater, each admission cost only $1, which is an incredible bargain. Though for Kevin Costner's Waterworld, I felt that I had been overcharged and considered asking for my money back. Yet the movie lives on in my lexicon. If I see something that seems overblown, I still quote the young girl's line,
"Was this your vision?"
But of course, the Key Theater wasn't just about the movies. It was partially about the people who went there, and I have to say it was also about the marquee. Interesting people attended the Key Theater all the time. I still remember several people leaving in a loud huff at the beginning of Birdcage when Robin Williams' character kisses the young man. The departing audience members were convinced that this was the start of some sort of homoerotic film. It turns out, of course, that Robin Williams is just saying hello to his son. But these people weren't having any of that. They probably wouldn't have enjoyed the rest of the film anyway. Among my other favorite attendees, the man who brought his 10-year-old son and 11-year-old daughter to Boogie Nights, the 1997 movie about the porn industry. I really have no idea what he was thinking. Did he think it was some sort of a horror flick?
Boogie, boogie, boogie.
Which probably would not be good for that age range either. Or did he think it was just a cheap night's entertainment when he had the kids for the weekend? And speaking of Boogie Nights, this brings me to the topic of the marquee. One of the first times we noticed a problem was for the movie First Night, the 1995 film about King Arthur with Sean Connery and Richard Gere. On the marquee, the title appeared as First Knight, K-N-I-T-E. When purchasing our tickets, I, as an academic who feels compelled to correct fast food signs,
two whoppers possessive what for $5?
And indeed, any sign of an error in spelling or grammar, and please refer to my podcast on obsessive compulsive disorder for more, I made a comment on the spelling to the woman selling tickets. A man who was leaning on the counter, who turned out to be the owner, explained the problem. It seems that, when he had bought the theater, part and parcel, he also got the marquee letters. Unfortunately, during the time before he took over, letters were lost, misplaced, or broken, and let's face it, at $1 a ticket, he was not making enough money to replace them. So he felt the need to get creative, out of necessity, with his spelling. Where problems mostly occurred were with titles that needed H's or E's. And so Birdcage and Waterworld were not problems. But First Knight was. I guess he had the G, but lacking the H, he needed to convey the title in the closest manner possible. Two particular titles stand out. So let us return to the aforementioned Boogie Nights. Remember that lack of an H? It manifested itself here as Booginits, B-O-O-G-I-N-I-T-S.
Boogie Nights, rated R.
I have never been able to think of that film as anything other than Booginits. The other example touched off a bit of controversy in town. This was a time when the local Latino population was growing. There was a sudden influx of people from Latin American countries. Some of the longtime residents of Hazleton, all of them the descendants of immigrants from various European nations, had little tolerance for these newcomers, and so those new to the town did not feel immediately welcomed. So imagine everyone's surprise when one day the marquee advertised the new week's film with what appeared to be a racial slur. I would often drive past the theater and check to see what the movie was in case we wanted to go that weekend. I almost swerved into oncoming traffic when I read the words, Spick World. S-P-I-C, World. This was, of course, Spice World, the 1997 film featuring the Spice Girls, Scary, Baby, Sporty, Ginger, and Posh Spice. Yes, I looked it up on Google. Not racially offensive, and from the few moments I've seen of the movie, not really much of anything. But lacking that E, a community with growing racial tensions suddenly found a rallying point for and against. Later that same week, I drove by again and discovered the sign had been changed to Spice World, S-P-I-S, World. Apparently, the owner had been contacted and he felt obligated to make the change. When we arrived for a subsequent movie, I saw him once again leaning against the counter. By this point, he was used to our commenting on his variant spellings, and so I needed no real introduction to the topic other than arching an eyebrow and saying, Spick World. He shook his head, registering his surprise at the controversy. I really didn't think it would be a problem, he said. It's not like it had a K at the end of it. You know, I guess one letter can be so important. Anything you want to hear more about from this podcast? I can elaborate. Just send your request to Stephen Schrum at museoffire.com. That's StephenSchrum at museoffire, MUSOFYR.com. Or leave a message at 724-835-4074, and I'll see what I can do. I receive no cash for products I mentioned, but please feel free to throw money at me to advertise here. For more information on my works, check out my website, museoffire.com. For written works, search for me on Smashwords as Stephen Schrum or Museoffire, or find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. This is Stephen Schrum. Thanks for listening to Audio Chimera.